And we're going to do, at least today, we'll see how far we get into this. We might finish the entire lesson, but this is kind of a added lesson to what we've been covering on the last, oh goodness, it's been several weeks. I don't remember how long ago we started the Ten Commandments, but this kind of goes along with that. Matthew chapter 22. And but let me make a few announcements while you're turning in your Bibles. First is there is a Sunday school lesson on the church website for your young people. It's kind of geared for, I guess, anyone up to age, the teenage years. Then they, of course, the teenagers and those in the youth group, grade 7 and up to grade 12, they have the after-school Bible club tomorrow at 4:30. So, but online, it's recorded, and you can find that at anchoredinjesus.com. Depending on how you're watching this meeting. And thank you for your participation. I know many of your children are watching it, and we want you to continue to encourage them to do that. In this time of much of 2020 has been this way, but let's continue to use the abilities that we have to be taught the Word of God, and we're thankful that we can do this. Then Christmas cards. Christmas cards are here at the church office, as many of you have seen these by now. And I'm still, and again, to God's glory, I don't know how many of these I've offered to people, but I've not one has been rejected yet. And that may stop eventually, but I'm not thinking that way. Just keep offering them. And we were able to give some out yesterday in our seniors counseling meeting that we had. And a lot of counseling needed with those seniors, you know. And but anyway, we were able to give some out and then deliver some house to house as well. And so we have them here at the office, as I've mentioned on several different videos and online here in our live stream. We can have them for you out on the stairs here, and you can just come by and pick them up. We're here every day, pretty much every day except Saturday. Someone is here at the church office. And so we want the seed that's in the barn to get out in the field. So can you help us with that? And everyone can have a part. Everyone can have a part. In fact, I won't say who, but one of our seniors yesterday was talking about having a part and getting the gospel out. And this individual said, you know, I thought about this, that doing it a different way, because some the tracks, not the Christmas card tracks, this individual was very excited to get some of those yesterday, but said that, you know, the other tracks, just people hadn't been taking them very much lately, the ones that we have. And so this individual decided to start putting them in purses at the bay, the ones that were for sale. Can you believe that? What a great idea! I think we ought to go to the. I think we ought to go and put them inside the suit coat pockets of all the suit. Oh, never mind. Maybe not. Anyway, hey, praise the Lord. I haven't had a call yet from the bay on that, but whatever it takes, let's get the gospel out. And maybe we all shouldn't be doing that in the bay, but anyway, I wasn't going to correct the individual. I said, praise the Lord. That was exciting. I was encouraged by that. And then one more, this Christmas Carol DVD. The recordings are going to start this week for that. And so if you haven't communicated yet with Pastor Nathan, please do. We want to get as many, much variety on this as we possibly can. And by the way, we're thinking of many other ways and places where this DVD could go. We're thinking of the rehab facility that we can't go visit right now. They can't leave right now. There's two houses there. We could put it in both of those. I'm pretty sure they would be more than willing to share it, to show it in their entertainment area. They have, all of them have TVs and DVD players, I'm sure of it. And so I'm honestly praying, trying to pray every day for this, taking time to pray every day for this Christmas Carol DVD. And I hope that if you don't want to sing and be a part of it recorded, if you don't feel comfortable with that, I hope you'll add it to your prayer list. I hope you have been praying for it. But I hope a few more of you would consider singing and being a part of it as well, and help us with that. Okay, all right, let's get into God's Word now, Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, and the theme of the lesson this morning is keeping the great commandment. Keeping the great commandment. You know that we've been going through the Ten Commandments. We've covered all of those, And well, I hope that they have helped you and they've maybe challenged you. But now we come to the great commandment. Here in Matthew chapter 22, the Lord Jesus Christ is questioned by a scribe. In this passage, he was referred to as a lawyer. And let's begin reading in Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 34. The Bible says, and I'm still in Matthew 12. Good night. Why? Maybe I'm supposed to be preaching from Matthew 12 today. Verse 34, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, this was a test, right? Master, notice this statement in verse 36, which is the great commandment? Which is the great commandment? Now, we know the law is made up of all kinds of commandments and all kinds of them, more than 10, by the way. And yet here this individual, this lawyer, this scribe, is basically kind of baiting the Lord here. You know, he's tempting him, testing him. Jesus said unto him, verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Notice verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. You know, I've read this passage many times in my Christian life, and I need to read it many more times. I think you probably have too if you've been saved for a while. You know what captivated me in preparation was just this statement, thou shalt love. And just thinking about that for a few moments, we're going to pray, but just thinking about that. Thou shalt love. You know, the great commandment is really revolved around that statement. Where or who is receiving our love? That's going to be an indicator of growth in our life. That's going to be an indicator of how we look at life. You can look at life, and I can look at life in many different ways. But if we will just focus and just pull everything back to thou shalt love, of course, then don't leave out the Lord thy God. But I couldn't get beyond that. Thou shalt love. All of the Ten Commandments are subservient to that statement. Reason why I break a commandment is because I don't love the Lord my God as I ought. If I loved Him as I ought, those Ten Commandments, no problem. Why? Because it's coming from not do's and don'ts, but it's coming from a heart of love. And so we're going to talk about that in these moments that we have. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Bible. Thank You for Scriptures that we have in English, some have it in other languages, some still need it, Lord. And I do once again lift up Bible printing and Bible translating, God, that You'd bless these ministries. I think of First Bible. I think of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Bearing Precious Seed in the States and many others. There's others, Lord, but just laid that on my heart, Lord, that so many don't have an entire copy of the Bible. We pray that You would continue to bless those ministries that are seeking to print the Bible and distribute it and even translate it into languages. And so, Father, today I pray that we would apply what we hear all day today. Maybe we've read something this morning in our Bible reading, and may it not have been just something that we read, but maybe it's something that we apply. In this lesson today, God, I pray that we would love You in a greater capacity than we ever have. In Jesus' name, amen. The great commandment, as I said earlier, is a commandment to love. It's a commandment to love. If I do not love the Lord as I ought to love Him, I can tell you this right now. If you do not love the Lord as you ought to, mark it down, you will not obey God as you ought to. I will not obey God as I ought. Everything that we do that God wants us to do, and everything that we don't do that God doesn't want us to do, it comes because we love God. And the more that I love God, the more I won't want to do what He doesn't want me to do. And the more I love God, the more I will want to do what He wants me to do. It all comes down to the greatest commandment, and that is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Now, in the Old Testament era, the Jewish people would quote Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. If you'd like to turn back to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, now we know we have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The first five books of the Bible were written by who? Moses. Okay? God used Moses to write the first five books of the Bible, called the Law, called the Pentateuch, other names for them, but they would quote what's called the Shema passage, the Shema, S-H-E-M-A passage, every morning and every evening. It was part of their daily routine. Look, if you will, if you've turned there, or just listen, in verse 4 and 5 of Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, 4, 5. That's kind of an interesting way there. 6, 4, 5, not 5, 4, 6, or 4, 5, 6, but 6, 4, 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Again, this was something they were very familiar with. So when Jesus said this to this lawyer, this scribe in Matthew 22, obviously he was quoting something that everybody around him more than likely would have been very familiar with. They would have heard it. They would have heard it over and over and over and over again. And so as we consider this lesson on keeping the great commandment, again, it isn't about a list of do's and don'ts as much as it is about a desire that our heart relationship with the Lord would be vibrant, would be warm, and it would be expanding. And really, I think what we have here in this lesson, I know because it's God's word, if we'll apply it, it's going to revolutionize the way we live our life. So let's look at these. Number one, we need to establish and be reminded of it is a personal love. It is a personal love. Go back in our text, if you will. You've turned to Deuteronomy, but we're going to go back now to our text, and we'll quote many other verses. But notice it says in verse 37, Jesus speaking to the lawyer said, thou shalt love the Lord. And what's the next word after Lord? Thy. Thy. The words from the text, thy God, imply a personal relationship. It's not, thou shalt love the Lord, Anchor Baptist Church's God, or whatever. It's thy God. In other words, you have to ask yourself that question today. Is he your God? Is he your Lord? So it is a personal love. How do we know him in a personal way? How do we know the Creator God in a personal way? Okay, number one, we know him in a personal way because we see in the Bible, he already loves us. He already loves us. If you can give somebody one verse of Scripture and only one verse, you ought to give them the most familiar verse in the Bible that for most even lost people, John 3:16. John 3:16. What is it? You say it with me. Ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The first phrase, for God so loved. You see, that's what we've got to get to this world in which we're living in, that God loves them. We've got to continue to preach and teach that God loves people. God loves the world. That's how my relationship with God is going to be established and it's going to grow, is if I recognize his love for me. In lieu of that, in thinking about that, here's another thought to that. We do not initiate this relationship. Look at 1 John chapter 4, please, if you have your Bible. 1 John chapter 4, we do not initiate this relationship. If it was up to us to initiate it, it would never happen. It would never happen. But it's not up to us, praise the Lord. Look at 1 John chapter number 4. The Bible says in verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out what? Fear. Boy, there's a good word for today. Perfect love casteth out fear. How many of you need to have some fear cast out of your life? Huh? Sure, we all do from time to time. Because fear hath what? Torment. I mean, goodness. If you sit around your house and you sit around your place of employment and just think about evil tidings, right? Right? Amen? If you sit around and think about doom and gloom all the time, if you sit around and just allow the fear of man or the fear of the devil, look what it's going to do to you. It's going to torment you. It's going to torment me. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We don't have anything to fear when we're in the hands of Almighty God. we don't have anything to fear when we're in the hands of the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. Think about that today. The Bible says here in 1 John 4:19, we love him. Why? Because he first. You ought to underline that statement in your Bible. He first. He first. Why can I love God today? He first. Love me. Why can you love God today? You a sinner, me a sinner, we all a sinner, we all sinners. Terrible English. Why can we do that? Because it was God who initiated it. It was God who came looking for you in the muck and mire of your life. It was God who reached down his hand to me at 9 years old, a rebellious 9-year-old boy as I was. And he lifted me up out of the miry clay and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. God initiated that. God sent forth his son, born of the woman, made in the likeness of men, that he would die and be buried and rise again. It was God who did all that. And so the great point of all of this is that God initiated the love relationship. I have the opportunity to love God because he has loved me first. George Matheson was 15 years of old when he was told he was losing his sight. Matheson continued, though, with his plans to enroll at the University of Glasgow. He would graduate at 19 years of age. Unfortunately, though, his fiancée was unwilling to marry a blind man. She broke the engagement by returning the ring. He never married. And that pain would carry with him, and he was a pastor in Scotland, and his sister came to him at one time and said that she was engaged to be married. And he rejoiced with her, but in his mind he went back to the day that his fiancée left him, broke off the engagement. But out of this experience, as we've been learning about hymns, George Matheson would write the words, O love that wilt not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. Song is called, O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go. And that's the same kind of love that God has for us today. Be encouraged, church. That's the same kind of love God has for you, for me, for his church. A love that will not let us go. So, we've got to know God loves us. Secondly, though, knowing God in a personal way, we must receive his gift. We must receive his gift. You know, on the back of the Christmas track, we've got two little boxes there, and they're gifts. And the writing says, scan here to learn more about this gift. And you know, Brother Barry brought up a good point earlier. He said, you know, we need to try to mention that, if at all possible, to people as we give them to them. Don't forget to scan the code for your free gift. Don't forget, that's a great thought, isn't it? Because that's where it'll take them, to the gospel story, the gospel message that's being preached. But we must receive his gift. We must personally receive what God has for us. 1 John 3:23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. 1 John 4:8 and 9, the Bible says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, amen, that we might live how? Through him. The love of God. I mean, we've been talking about it here in recent days, and I think the timing of everything in our Wednesday night lessons. Boy, I tell you, if you miss Wednesday night, you miss something. You need to go back and you need to listen to the teaching that we heard from the RU ministry, Brother Steve Currington. By the way, this Wednesday night, whether we're meeting in person or online, we're going to be looking at more of that. So make sure you set your reminder, 7 o'clock, to be ready for church on Wednesday night. But everything that we've been hearing, it's amazing in the last month, really. All the different things we've been hearing and reading about, and how God is working. And he is putting all of this together. Don't miss it. We've been talking about the virgin birth, the pre-incarnate Christ. And as we think today about the great commandment, in thinking about John 1:14, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, and thinking about he was made flesh and dwelt among us. I mean, God put on flesh and became man, the God-man. And so why? Jesus did this so we could have a personal relationship with his Father, and he could become our Heavenly Father as well. God's love. Think about that. Meditate on that. There's a lot of other things that Satan would love you to be meditating on. He doesn't want us to meditate on the love of God. It's a personal way. It's a personal way. It's a personal. How do we know God in a personal way? Number one, we've got to realize God loved me first. Secondly, we've got to accept his gift. I wonder today, could there be someone watching this service right now? Or maybe you're watching it on Monday or Tuesday, but you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what it means to accept his gift. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If you died today, would you be in heaven? If you died tomorrow, would you be in heaven? Whenever it is that you're going to take your last breath, are you ready to die? That's something you ought to consider. If you're not saved today, you're not ready to die, folks. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, I'm just telling you, you're not ready to die. The Bible says to be absent from the body as a Christian is to be present with the Lord. That's the assurance I have. That's the assurance you could have today. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, you realize that Jesus is the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life, died on an old rugged cross, paying the penalty for your sin and mine, the penalty being death. Death, not just physical death, although it does bring death physically. More importantly than that, spiritual death. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Do you know Christ as Savior? That's how we can have a closer walk with him. We know that he loved us, number one. We know that we must accept that gift. And then number three, something that we kind of continuously talk about, and I mentioned it in the devotional this week, by reading his word. By reading his word. Reading God's word will grow our relationship with him. You cannot grow in your love for God apart from the Word of God. It's impossible. This is how we learn more about God. This is how we learn the will of God. This is how we learn the ways of God. This is how we learn what not to do. This is how we learn what to do. Principles all through the pages of Scripture. All of this we should want, if we're saved, there should be a wanter, right? There's a wanter inside of us. It's a whole new thing that's happened when we got saved. You're truly saved. You should want to read the Bible. Yes, there are times when sin gets in our life and we don't want to read the Bible. And we've got to confess that before God. I'm not saying if you don't want to read the Bible every day, you're not saved. I'm just saying that there should be something inside of you and me that draws us to the Word of God, not out of duty. Remember, not out of duty, but because we love God. And we want to know, what do you have for me, God? And every day there's something in here for you and for me. And it's not yesterday's bread, it's today's bread. And it's fresh for you and for me. So it's personal. It's personal. Okay, let's move on. Number two. It must be as well, number two, devoted. Devoted. Let's go back to our text. It must be devoted. First one, it must be personal. Jesus said, "Thy God." But then again, as I say, the timing of all of this, then Jesus said, "With all thy," and he lists three things, heart, soul, mind. Heart, soul, and mind. It's a devoted love. Whole heart. Whole heart. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. The heart, the seat of your affection, the seat of your will. The heart causing me to give myself to good, causing me to give myself to evil, to wrong. You've heard this statement. He or she has a bad heart. You've heard this statement. They're a good-hearted person. Notice, if you will, Matthew 15, 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. And they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Why does someone murder? Why does someone commit adultery? Why does someone steal? Why does someone bear false witness? Why does someone take the name of the Lord God in vain? Why does this happen? It happens because it's in their heart. It's in my heart. It's in your heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Proverbs says this, that out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. And so it's important that we love him with our whole heart. The word heart means the totality of your innermost being. It is not, as you know, it is not what pumps blood through your body. That's not what it's talking about. And how do we know someone's heart? How they live. How do you know my heart? How I live. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." The heart is so important to focus it on God, to seek after him with our entire being and our entire heart, our entire everything that we have, it belongs to the Lord. Now, just some practical ways that we can focus our hearts on God. Number one, through singing. Through singing. I'm so glad that we have a hymn book. If you don't have a hymn book in your home yet, I think probably most of you do. If you're watching from another church or another ministry, I'd encourage you, like I'm sure your pastor would as well, make sure you have a hymn book in your home, maybe even more than one, and have that and have it available. Have it to where you can read it. And I'm not saying every day I read the hymn book, but I would say, probably 5 days a week at least, I'm opening the hymn book and reading it, yes, sometimes to pick out songs for the services, but other times just to read and learn a little bit more and be encouraged. This is one way that my heart can be prepared to worship God. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In Ephesians 5 is the verse for this, Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Music is powerful. Music can, yes, pull us away from God, and we want to avoid that music, and this isn't a lesson on music, but we want the music, these spiritual songs. It comes from the word in the Greek language, which means of the Spirit, capital S, of the Spirit. These are songs that are of the Holy Spirit that encourage us to walk in the Spirit. By the way, there's a whole other kind of music that doesn't help me walk in the Spirit. It may help you dance, and that's not the kind of dancing David was doing, by the way. It may help you do things that are fleshly, and by the way, that's why I say music is powerful. It's so powerful that it's amazing when if you're watching something that is suspenseful. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? A suspenseful moment in a program, and the music is what makes it that way. If you played, you know, some kind of an orchestration of some, you know, upbeat, moving song in a suspenseful moment, it's not going to have the same impact. But they know what they're doing. They know what to play and to have you on the edge of your seat and the suspense is there. And so it's very clear that there is music that we want to avoid, and there's music, though, that prepares my heart to seek the Lord. Some songs, we will hear them in the store, and maybe we got saved later in life, or maybe we were rebellious in our teenage years and listened to some music we shouldn't have, and we hear one little song, and it takes us back to maybe before we got saved. It takes us back to another time. That's why, you know what we've got to do? We've got to take psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and pour them into our head. You know what happens when you pour that music into your head, the music of the Lord, the Holy Spirit kind of music, Spirit-filled music? It's going to flush out all the rest of it. It's going to flush it out. And we've got to put in. So it's got to be the right kind of music. So music that focuses my heart on God. Number two, through our giving. You know the verse, "For where your treasure is, there will your what? There will your heart be also." Matthew 6:21. Monetary giving is an opportunity to exercise love. Number three, through our Bible reading. We just talked about it, but this is how we can prepare our heart. Psalm 119, 111, and 112. "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." Testimonies is referring to his word. "I have inclined mine heart," verse 119, 112, "I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end." You know what? One way to love God with your whole heart is to allow God's Word to be a part of your life, not just in the morning for devotions, although have that time, okay? All the time. All the time. Having God's Word to be a part of your life. It has everything that you need. Incline or bend your heart to reading and obeying His commands. So, four ways that my heart can be focused. One, singing. Two, giving. Three, reading God's Word. Lastly, number four, serving. Serving. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. God loves you. We know that. When you think about how much God loves you and you let that come over you and you meditate on that, we love Him because He first loved me. Then how can we not serve Him? How can we not obey Him? Again, it comes back to, thou shalt love. How's your love for God today? It could always be improved upon, couldn't it? I know mine can. I know yours can as well. Through serving, through reading, through giving. Then, so that's the heart. Let's talk about the soul for just a minute. The soul. The seat of your emotions. It's not, I love God, God loves me, we're one big happy family. Okay? We don't have to be robotic about it. I'm so thankful that there is some feeling in this thing, the love of God. Psalm 139:14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Think about that. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Hey, when you're driving home sometime, when you're sitting in the bus sometime, when you're driving the bus sometime, when you're walking down the sidewalk, you know what? We need to ask God, God, just make there be times in my life where I'm just overcome by the fact that you love me, and by the fact that you have saved me, and by the fact that you've given me a church to be a part of, and a scripture, and a family, and all of this. And we just can't help but what? Praise God. We can't help but just utter praise to the Lord and maybe break out and praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise Him. There's something that would well up in us when we recognize that the love of God has a hold of us. It will not let us go, as the songwriter read about just a moment ago. Our whole soul, the Bible says in Psalm 34:2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Boast in the Lord. Amen. And we give God the glory for it, and we praise His name for it. The humble shall hear thereof and shall be glad. You know, when you testify boasting on the Lord and giving praise to the Lord, you know, that's a chance in our secular places of work. I'm sure those that you work with could use a little dose of encouragement. Maybe there's some Christians, maybe you've got lost people in your place of employment. And again, I would encourage you, give every coworker one of these cards. Why not? Encourage them to look on the back and get that free gift and hear that gospel message. I'm just saying, when you and I talk about the things of the Lord and how God has blessed us, it's a magnet. It's a magnet. It's not me. It's not me. No, it's boasting in the Lord. You see that? It's boasting in the Lord. The whole soul. In other words, it'd be good if we had a revival of joy on the inside that made its way out on the outside. You know, we need some Christians that are joyful in the Lord, and it starts way down in your belly, and it just bubbles out, you know. Jesus' love is what? Some of you know that song? It's bubbling over. And that's what it ought to be in my life. Sure, we don't walk around maybe 24/7 like that, but there ought to be more time we are walking around like that than less time that we're walking around that. Why? Because God loves us. And deep down in my soul, I just can't help but be smiling, and I just can't help but encourage someone else about the love of God. And it's bubbling over. There's enough bubbling over negative these days. We need to bubble over knowing that God loves us. That comes from the depths of our soul. And then the mind, the seat of our intellectual reasoning. 1 Corinthians 8:1, we won't turn there, but Paul talks about knowledge and how it puffs up. And so God is not lifting up necessarily intellectualism here, but a love from our whole mind. And you know what? The mind is the battleground. We've talked about that over the years. And Paul also talks about in 2 Corinthians that we need to cast down, 2 Corinthians 10:5, that we need to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of who? Knowledge of God. So much today is trying to captivate even the believer and captivate me and captivate you. And we need to make sure that our mind is stayed upon Jehovah. And we need to not be conformed to this world, but a daily transformation. Romans 12 and verse number 2. Notice that word in that verse, that renewing, the renewing. And again, some of these things God is bringing up in various times in the church in these days. It means, it has the idea of taking a house that is in disrepair. Maybe you've heard this term before, fixer-upper. Fixer-upper. And you have people that, and one of my brothers is involved in this type of business, where they flip houses. That doesn't mean my brother is like Atlas and he can pick up a house and flip it over. That's not what that's talking about, although to some that's what it sounds like. It's where they take a house that you walk up to the thing and you look at it and the shutters have all fallen off and there's a broken window and it's a mess. And on the inside, it doesn't look much like livable anyway. It doesn't have to be quite that bad, though. But they take that and they just do a renewing. They fix everything. New floor, new toilet, new tub, new sink, new vanity, new kitchen maybe, whatever, and new flooring, new paint job on the outside, cleaning it up. What are they doing? They are renewing it so that it looks livable, so that it looks appealing, if you will, to someone that we're buying. Broken down and renovate. Can I tell you today that in 2020, too many Christians' minds have been broken down. And the reason why you wouldn't even want to hand one of these out to anyone right now is because your mind is broken down. And it's affected your heart. And it's affected your soul. Too much fear is embracing the believer in 2020, and it ought not be that so. I didn't say live carelessly, but we should live by faith. Our mind has got to be renewed. You know, I can't see this, and you can't see this, but I can see today a lot of broken down Christians, and it doesn't have to stay that way. Let the love of God overwhelm you and fill your heart and fill your soul and fill your mind once again. That you're walking and talking like a Christian and living like a Christian, living in the joy of the Lord. Yes, difficulties are still going to come, but we're in the hand of God. What better place could we be? So when we think of the great commandment, we must realize, number one, that God loves us. He initiated it. We must receive that gift. So it's personal, it's devoted. And number three, and lastly, it's active. It's active. Here's a thought. Love is not just an idea. Love must be demonstrated. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. It must be demonstrated. An act of love. 1 Corinthians 13:4, the Bible says, charity suffereth long. You know, part of our love, our act of love, I think we need to be reminded every once in a while, kindness. You know where it ought to start first? In your home. Your home should be filled with kindness. From husband to wife, wife to husband, parent to child, child to parent, and guess what? Child to child. Hey, kids, you ought to be kind to your siblings. What's a sibling? That's your sister. That's your brother. You ought to be kind. The kindest place ought to be where we live. And then it should go right from there. We start at home and it just spreads. As we go to work, kindness. Couldn't every place of employment use a little more kindness? Couldn't every store, come on, I feel for some of these workers in these stores. You ought to as well. Don't go in with the attitude of, this mask and this and that and the other. other thing and all that. And yeah, I've been carrying this thing in my pocket. I mean, praise God for Anchor Baptist, we can be a testimony. Amen. But you know what? I've had it ready. I have it ready to put on. It's okay. You know what some of those workers need? They need somebody to be kind to them. Because I guarantee you, they've been getting some of the other kind of response. And hey, they need to earn a living. They got bills to pay. They didn't ask for this. And so when we go into these places, can I encourage you? Again, did it yesterday. I'm nobody. I need to do more. But I handed a couple of these out to employees of places I was yesterday. Saturday's about the only day that I go into stores. So with family members normally. But hey, be kind. Hey, can I give you a Christmas card? Hey, just take them with you. Kindness. Also serving. A serving kind of love. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, seeketh not her own. Seeketh not her own. In other words, don't go around with this attitude. If somebody scratches my back, I'll scratch theirs. Right? It's okay if that's how it is. I'm not saying literally. But I'm saying, no, it's not about if somebody is kind to you, somebody serves you, then you're going to serve them back. No, that's not how Jesus lived his life. That's not what the love of God should be doing in you and in me. Remember, Pastor said we got to give out tracts. No, you got it all wrong. No, that's not what it's about. It's about love. Giving the gospel is because I love someone. I may have one interaction with one human being for all my life. What am I going to do with that one interaction? I'll have to be honest with you. I have really blown several of those. I've blown several. Not just because I didn't give out the gospel in some cases, but in some cases, I didn't have a very good testimony because I lost my cool. Have you ever lost your cool? You see, that's not coming from a heart of love for God. That's coming from a selfish heart. And we have to deal with selfishness all the time, don't we? You do, I do. No, and seeketh not her own. It doesn't always have to be about me. It doesn't always have to be about you. And then lastly, 1 Corinthians 13:7. It's an enduring love. Endureth all things. This is the highest form of love. It's agape love. This kind of love can be sustained through easy times, difficult times. Think about it. Love is the strongest motivator we have. God's commandments, you got to keep them. You got to obey God. Yeah, okay, fine. That's right. Why? Not because I have to. Because I love God. And I need to love Him more, okay? I'm not saying I love God as I should. I need to love Him more. God Himself initiated this love. Start with me. I'm able to love God, and you're able to love God. Why? Because God started the whole thing. He started the love ball rolling, if you will, by sending Jesus Christ to die for our sins. I end this part of the service again. Do you know Christ is your Savior? Have you experienced God's love in a saving way? If not, why not on this first Sunday of December? Why not make today the day that you received God's love in a personal way?